What's up? It's me, Don Tolliver. If I could describe the Bose Ultra Open Earbuds, I think I would describe it as very seamless. It can definitely be something that you can style. It's like earring candy. Check out Bose.com for more.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys are back in the news again. This time, I don't know how newsy it is, with Dak Prescott sitting out today's practice with an ankle strain or sore ankle. To me, it was a precaution and not that big of a deal, but there's a lot more going on out there in Dallas. We'll check in with the Cowboys coming up in just a bit here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. With Matt Fontana, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. And Matt, watching, you know, by the way, a quick update on some scores. Dolphins up on the Falcons, 17-10. Atlanta was a 2.5-point favorite, total 38 in this game. On ESPN Bet, Michael Penix Jr., 9 of 16 for 104 yards, no touchdowns, no picks in his professional debut for the Falcons. And Kirk Cousins didn't play, and that's really about all the highlights there, except there was a low light, and that is
Wait, no, stop everything. Russell Wilson happened? Has eye blackout. He has eye blackout.
You're making that up, dude. Hang on. Now, hold on a second. For people just tuning in, the moment we came on the air about 2 hours ago to start the show, literally like 15 seconds before we hit the air, you have your rundown, your everything else, where we're going to open the show with, and we look up, and there's Russell Wilson in full pads. Now, Russell Wilson, quarterback of the Steelers, has a calf injury. He's not playing tonight.
Never.
Helmet, full pads, thigh pads, butt pad, towel. Had his play call sheet. He had a towel.
And
right?
What
sane person in the NFL pads up when you know you're not playing? So for the entire first segment, we just barbecued Russell Wilson in molasses.
Dude, so I look up, and it's after a drive. They finally scored. The quarterbacks are sitting on
the
bench.
So he finally took his helmet off.
He took his helmet off, and I go, oh, my God, he has eye blackout.
What is it with this dude? What a tool. Like, Cam Hayward isn't playing tonight. They're all pro defensive tackle. He's in shorts and a T-shirt, right?
Dude.
I mean, Patrick Queen is in sweats. Man. You know, T.J. Watt is in sweats. Yet, here we are looking
Russ
at Russell Wilson
eye black on.
Fully padded up and is also wearing eye black.
Is it, like, did he take dress rehearsal?
I just love your reaction.
Degree?
Like, stop the show.
I was like, stop.
Shut
everything.
Up. The dude's got eye black
He's
on.
He's got eye black on. Like, the pads are one thing. The eye black. He's got eye black on.
All right.
He willingly stood there before the game. In
what a
front
dork!
Of me.
I mean, I just that's. I
and
mean,
he said, "I'm putting eye black on for this game. I'm not playing in." I love that guy.
Right.
I love Russell Wilson. Joe
Trahan is the lead sports anchor for the ABC affiliate in Dallas, WFAA. Knows the Cowboys inside and out. We've known him for the better part now of close to 20 years. Joe, have you ever seen an NFL player, before we get to the Cowboys, have you ever seen an NFL player in any game, preseason or regular season game, with an injury, knowing you're not going to play, be fully padded up, eye black, call sheet, the works?
You know, man, there's a different way of doing things nowadays, boys. You know, there just is. There just is. I don't remember seeing it, but, you know, heck, there was a Cowboy player who was injured last year, DeMarvion Overshown. He would watch games, you guys, in his helmet. He took his helmet from the locker room, and he just wanted to feel like he was closer to the game. So he would sit in his living room and stick his helmet on and watch games. So, hey, it's a little different. A little different the way things are done now, boys. A little different.
Okay, that Overshown one may one up Russell Wilson
in the
dork factor,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
You're on your couch eating wings, right?
And
you got your helmet on? Okay. Russ, you're off the hook, man.
Yeah.
The linebacker out of Texas, hook him. There we go, right there. All right, JoJo, we've heard Jerry say some crazy things, right? You go back. I was sitting, I think, right next to you about 10 years ago when we had the glory hole from Jerry from about a decade ago where he's just talking about once glory hole. I mean, Cam, we have that? Cam Curlin? Go ahead and hit that one for us if you have it. No, I know it's on the fly. All right, anyway, don't worry about it. But, yeah, we had that one. We had all in, all in, all in. Sound like, you know, Wooderson from Dazed and Confused. Now we've got, you know, no sense of urgency. I went to high school. I went to college. No sense of urgency in signing CeeDee Lamb. What is your overall reaction here, man, to the latest version of Jerry saying crazy things in the state of the Dallas Cowboys?
As Jerry World turns, that's what we got. I mean, listen, Jerry is – I know everyone wants to call him a general manager. I call him a general marketer. It's all we got going here, you guys. It's marketing. It's the currency of relevancy. Jerry knows if he says these things, and if he says them enough, and if he says them at the right time, that it will spark conversation. I'm sure all the shows on ESPN today ran that from yesterday. We're talking about it today. When here's the actual truth. I was there. Did my yearly one-on-one with Jerry the first Sunday at camp. We sat down, and when it got to CeeDee Lamb, he looked me right dead in the face and said, "Now you know we're going to get this deal done. We are. It'll get done, and CeeDee knows it." That's what he told me and everybody else who happened to tune in that night on WFAA. So everything else he says in the interim and in the meantime and all this other stuff, Jerry's just trying to stay in the A block, you guys. He's trying to stay in the A's, near the top of everything relevant.
So, Joe, could maybe that – because, again, we're in an age where somebody sends a tweet, they unfollow the team, it's like a five-alarm fire, right? So CeeDee sends the tweet about LOL, about Jerry saying there's no urgency. Could that maybe be he's laughing because he knows the same thing, that it's going to get done, and he's laughing that other people are going to take it that way? Or do you think there actually is a little disconnect between CeeDee and Dallas about getting this deal done?
Now, I will say, when I saw the LOL, I thought the same thing. I'm like, all right, what do we mean here? Now, that was followed up, though, by the stripping of Cowboy references and dress from his social media platform, CeeDee Lamb, today. So, again, it's posturing, it's negotiating.
It's teenage it's girls. Everything that's what it is when they do that.
I'm not even going there, but yeah. But it's everything that goes into, you know, when you have these kinds of situations. And we all know that the Cowboys will get nowhere near where they need or want to go without CeeDee Lamb on the roster. Jerry Jones knows that, and it will be a matter of time. Now, here's the thing I will say when these situations do crop up, because this is what I always worry about, especially with a receiver, right? And listen, he can work out as much as he wants to. He can work out from him to Haw, from sun up to sundown. He can't replicate what you do in camp, right? And I'm not saying that's a reason for him to come in. What I am worried about is when he does come in, do we have that soft tissue injury 2 weeks right into him, you know, having signed, and it gets you too close to the first game, and he's not, you know, 100% for the first game. And I've just seen that movie so many times, right? And that's the one thing I worried about. You know, I was hoping that they would get him in within the week or so. But listen, it hadn't happened yet, right? It hadn't happened yet, so we'll see.
Jojo and Joe Trahan, lead sports anchor, WFAA, ABC Dallas, joining us here on ESPN Radio with Matt Fantano, me and Fitzsimmons. He's in for Amber Wilson. Joe, he's cost himself and the salary cap for the Cowboys tens of millions of dollars by not getting mm-hmm. this done sooner. So when you sat down for your one-on-one with Jerry, what did he say about that? Because the Eagles got two done. Amon-Ra St. Brown got done with the Lions, right? I mean, the Dolphins paid their quarterback and two wide receivers. How the Lions paid their quarterback, Penei Sewell, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. So Jerry has cost his team in the salary cap tens of millions of dollars by waiting, because Justin Jefferson set the market. Then Tyreek Hill reset the market. So what did he say about why this has taken so long?
And here's the issue, right? That's when I got him to say, hey, it's going to happen. But here's the underlying issue, and it's where I think the Cowboys front office – And Jerry Jones, and this is where I think they've got it wrong, because here's what we did talk about. You know, he mentioned the fact that this Cowboys roster had one of the best supporting cast a year ago, and they had to let some of those people go because of the salary cap, knowing that they were going to have to pay guys like CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, and we'll see what happens with Dak Prescott. When the truth is, what you just alluded to, Ian, when you wait and wait, and he has a history of doing this, the Cowboys have a history of doing this, just go back and look at what happened with Zeke Elliott. Go back and look at what happened when Dak eventually got hurt, but then he set the market when it was 4 years and $160 million and everyone was crying, oh, my God, I can't believe a quarterback makes $40 million. Well, it's only going to keep going up as it has continued to do. And that is why I think the Cowboys find themselves in this difficult position, because their default setting, for whatever reason, and I don't understand why, is to wait.
Forever.
And in all these other instances, yes, they paid Zeke, right? They paid Zeke too much eventually, right? And I don't know if they're going to end up paying CD too much or not, but I do know this. They're going to only have to pay him more the longer they wait, because with certain positions in the league, especially ones that aren't running back, it's only going to go up. It's only going to go up, and that's what Cowboy fans are having to deal with right now.
Joe, wanted to ask real quick about Micah Parsons. Do you think any of this kind of bleeds over to him as he's watching this? He gets nervous that there might be a fight on for his big contract when it comes time?
Oh, that's a great question, because, you know, while the LOL was tweeted, Micah retweeted CeeDee Lamb's LOL, right? So he's watching this entire thing play out. He has decided to – he's going to wait, right? He's made that known. He can wait on his money. I suspect that, you know, he has seen how these things play out, and as long as he stays healthy and productive, he knows that his number's coming up and he's eventually going to get paid. But listen, he's watching all this stuff and he's seeing how it plays out. And, you know, he might be laughing a little bit with the way these things end up, because he knows he will be paid.
I can't get Overshown out of my head sitting on a couch.
Like, oh, yeah.
Just sitting there with his helmet on now.
Just trying to eat chips, like, through the bars of the face mask.
Well, you know what? He was a rookie, right? Remember, he was a rookie. And, of course, he got hurt in the preseason. He tore the ACL. He wanted to feel like he was part of the game. You know, he went to Arp High School. Arp's a tiny town out in East Texas, right? He's a Tyler kid from East Texas.
Don't care.
He's a Cowboy fan at heart.
Don't care.
I'm going to give him a pass, you guys. I'm going to give him a pass. He's a great
kid. Russell Wilson gets no pass on this show.
No.
Russell Wilson gets no pass. He's a veteran and needs to know better. Totally agree.
Joe, he's got eye black on, man. I can't, man. I didn't see it. Matt spotted it. I didn't see the eye black.
So weak, Joe. I look at him and I go, why do you have eye black on, too?
That is the classic of all classics. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Joe, you're the best, man. Have a great show tonight. We'll talk to you soon, brother. Thank you.
All right, boys. Thanks so much. Y'all take care. Bye.
Joe Trahan, ABC Dallas lead sports anchor, joining us here on ESPN Radio. He's Matt Fontana. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. All right, coming up, how close were the Niners and Browns on a trade for Brandon Ayuk? This one's going to stun you right here on ESPN Radio.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams, because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
Ah, fall Saturdays. The air is crisp. The game is on. Your friends are here, and you're outside on grill duty. The Home Depot knows missing the game is not an option. Thankfully, the Traeger Timberline XL Grill is here to help you play defense and make the most of every Saturday. First up, we've got fans to feed, and the Timberline XL is a real crowd pleaser. It can bake, smoke, sear, fry, and saute, so you can feed everyone at the watch party. Whether you want sweet, tangy ribs, jalapeno poppers with a smoky kick, grilled street corn, or some classic buffalo wings, this utility player can do it all. And with Wi-Fire tech and the Traeger app, you can monitor your smoker temp, meat probes, and pellet levels all from the comfort of your couch. So you can watch the game, not the grill, and never miss a moment. Defend your game time with Traeger and the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
49ers now willing to listen to trade offers for receiver Brandon Ayuk.
It's a hard deal to get done.
You got to get rid of this distraction. But I think the impasse is that the teams that are willing to compensate happen to be places that Ayuk might not want to go.
another little twist in the chase for Brandon Ayuk as he tries to run out of town for more money. But he's been offered big money. Reportedly $32 million per year by the New England Patriots. Turned it down, reportedly, and that would have made him the third highest paid wide receiver in the National Football League. With Matt Fantano, why am I twisting your last name every now and then?
So I worked with a host that a long time early in my career.
I said Fontana.
It happens
Fontana.
He would call me Mott, like Mott the Hoople, because he loved the band Mott the Hoople. So for almost, he didn't do it on purpose, but it was something that as soon as he got on the air, we'd be doing pre-show, we'd hang out the rest of the day, not a problem. He'd intro the show, and he would just, I don't know why, Mott the Hoople was always on his
Matt
mind.
So Fontana.
Ian's having a hard time recognizing who people are today, so. You're not the only one, Mott.
What else did I miss today? Cam?
That's the wrong Cam.
We got 14 cams at work here at ESPN Radio. I can't see the guy, right? So I couldn't tell if it was
coming soon to Amber.
Cam Run, Cam Pratt, Cam Curlin. Yeah.
Coming soon to your Cam rankings for ESPN.
Never enough cams. We're
done with list season.
It's really hard to keep them straight. I got to tell you.
I just learned
some of them were cams. So
it's little things in life that make the world go around. All right, Matt. So. Yeah. What is the latest here when it comes to Brandon Ayuk, as you are based in Cleveland?
Yes.
And so we know that New England, they wanted him $32 million per. That was the report. He said, nope, I want to also win. So it's not just getting paid. He wants to be able to win also. Well, you might be able to do that in Cleveland. That team defensively is stacked. Ton of talent on offense. Have no idea what we're going to get from Deshaun Watson. But they're willing to pay. And it's a pretty damn good football team in a very difficult division. What's the latest on Ayuk in Cleveland?
Yeah, so this came out about 2 hours ago from Matt Miyako, who covers the 49ers, NBC Sports. And he writes an article just on the latest. And, again, we know Pittsburgh reportedly was talking. Then there's reports they haven't talked to him in 24 hours. But for Matt Miyako, he says Ayuk could be a Cleveland Brown if he wanted to be. The reporting is that there was a trade in place ready to go. Amari Cooper, a second-round pick, and a fifth-round pick going back to the 49ers, and Ayuk going to Cleveland, but it was Brandon Ayuk who put the kibosh on the trade, saying he didn't want to go to Cleveland. We know Ayuk has publicly expressed his desire to play for the Steelers. He obviously, like you mentioned, has turned the money down that you saw in New England. And just kind of reading through Matt's article here, it doesn't seem like there's really an option about or the reason why he didn't want to come to Cleveland. But that trade was in place, ready to go. But he said he just didn't want to go to Cleveland for one reason or another.
Look, man, you can want to be traded and get paid. We all know what Brandon wants. He wants to be paid in San Francisco. He's got a young, talented quarterback. They are a Super Bowl contender yet again. Went to overtime in the damn thing against Patrick Mahomes and James Steele's Chiefs, but you couldn't quite get it done. That close, one play away from hoisting a Lombardi. So he wants to be on a contender and get paid. Well, look, man. I'd love to hit the Mega Millions tonight. I mean, life. My grandfather once told me, life is full of wants but can't haves. So if you want to get paid and a contender, but you have to choose one or the other, which one are you choosing? I'm going to bet on myself going, you know what? I'll go to New England, I'll get paid, and I'm going to help Drake May become one hell of a football player. Instead, he turned that one down. Now he's turning down big money on a pretty good football team, a much better football team in New England. And as you just mentioned, the report is Ayuk's the one shooting this down. Dude, what do you want?
And I wonder because, you know, Mike Florio even kind of wrote about this. This leak about the offer from Cleveland, that has to be from the 49ers. You know, the Browns would
100%.
Never leave this out because 100%. Now that's kind of messy with Amari Cooper, even though there are reports all week that Cooper was a part of this. So now it's maybe the 49ers playing a game of them trying to get Ayuk to come back, which I got to tell you, is that not what's going to happen here? If he's going to say no to everybody else, and even the team that he wants to go to is Pittsburgh, they don't seem to be the right option, then it sounds like he's just going to go back to the 49ers. And I guess, I don't know, do you feel like he walks into John Lynch's office with a stronger case to be like, hey, pay me more money. Look, I turned all the rest of these guys down. I don't think it helps.
It's less leverage.
I agree with you. I say this is less. I go, if you want it out of here so bad, go. Go take that other money. But you didn't, so now you come back to us. Dude, $32 million is not – first off, it is not the same out there in California as it is other places. But also, what that team was willing to pay doesn't instantly equate that that's what we're willing to pay you, right? We have other guys here that need to get paid. Brock Purdy's coming up here soon, right? So – just because you think you got these deals and you turned it down doesn't mean that that is going to change the position of the 49ers. I agree with you. I think San Fran wants it back, but on their money or on their dollar amount, and 100%. That's very clearly not what he's thinking.
I mean, Brandon, who's his agent? Do you know?
I have to look.
Is it Magetta? Athletes First? I don't know. But anyway, I mean, whomever his agent is. You got to be
Ryan Williams. Ryan Williams is his agent.
It's you got to be going if you're Ryan, Brandon. I got this deal for you. Nope. Okay. How about I got nope.
Nope.
Because look, they're negotiating all that behind the scenes.
Right.
That trade isn't happening unless you know the agent and Ayuk have agreed to some kind of a long term deal in principle, and what the compensation is from the team that's getting him going back to San Francisco. And if I'm Ryan Williams, if I were back in my hard charging days, I'd be bathing in bourbon right now because this has got to be frustrating as hell for him.
He's asking for perfection, and I can't deliver you perfection. You're exactly right. You want to get paid and be on a winning team. Right now, that might not be in the card. And I think the one thing for Brandon Ayuk to understand, he is still a young player that's already been to a Super Bowl and an NFC Championship games and all that. If I was him, man, I'm running. I'm signing that deal, and I'm introducing myself to Drake May come Monday. But that's just me.
I'm right there with you. I'd be holding your hand on the way in as your agent going, I'm getting 3%, baby. He's Matt Fontana. I mean, yes. If it's Simmons. Best case, worst case for the Donkeys of Denver on ESPN Radio.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
It's basketball season, baby. When you're playing with BetMGM, you don't need to be 7 feet tall with a 7 foot wingspan to get into the action. Oh, you're betting with the big boys now. I'm talking over points, under assists, and exact rebounds all day. Fadeaway jumper from the left wing hitting nothing but net type of vibe. This basketball season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Arizona called 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts 1-800-327-5050. Iowa 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico called 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
This is
180
ESPN Radio's NFL Two-A-Days. The Denver Broncos.
This is Jeff Legwald covering the Broncos. The Broncos finally hope to stop the high-speed carousel they've had at quarterback over the last 8 seasons. They've missed the playoffs in all 8 of those seasons, and they have seen 12 different quarterbacks start games behind center over those 8 years. 13 players overall, if you want to throw in running back Philip Lindsay, during the COVID pandemic. But the quarterback search has been ongoing, and it has largely been fruitless over the last 8 years, and they hope Bo Nix, Jarrett Stidham, or Zach Wilson can provide the winner, with the rookie Nix probably being the leader in the clubhouse.
I'm a big Bo Nix guy. I know I'm in the minority. Wasn't surprised at all that Sean Payton, head coach of the Denver Donkeys, took the Oregon Duck at the 12th overall pick. With Matt Fontana, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. Let's get to best case, worst case scenario of Denver.
Best case.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Worst case.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
It was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Best case, worst case with Amber and Ian.
Matt is in for Amber Wilson. Matt, give me your best case scenario for the Donkeys of Denver.
You know why you and I are doing the show tonight? Because we are two Bo Nix fans. I think Bo Nix is very good. I was excited for that pick there for Denver. That being said, best case scenario, he is the guy. Now, for Denver, they have to go full rebuild. And they got to go in with Sean Payton. I know he probably doesn't want to do that. But they need to tank this season out. They traded away Jerry Jeudy.
Oh.
I think they should have traded away Cortland Sutton when they could have. You sign Pat Surtain to a long-term deal. You keep some of those players on that defensive side of the football. You redid your offensive line just a little bit over the last couple of years. They get Quinn Meernez his money, which is just fine. You start Bo Nix from day one. You go out there, you say, hey, you're going to learn. There's going to be some growing pains. We're not going to win a lot of football games this year. You then use that first pick that you have next year. You go out and you take the best receiver that you can, and you start to build around it. So best case scenario for the Denver Broncos would be that Bo Nix plays well, gets a little experience, and you get a high draft pick next year. I think that's the best case scenario for them.
Yeah, win total, I'd say best case scenario around 7-8 wins.
Yeah.
But I am right there with you on Bo Nix. And I couldn't believe Troy Franklin, his wideout from Oregon, fell to the fourth round. That was like a gift of manna from football heaven. So, and then you get Jonah Ellis, you know, outstanding rush end out of Utah. They're going to probably move him to linebacker and stand him up. He's a bit undersized, you know, fine in college, but he's got enough speed to come off the edge at a linebacker position and carry a tight end up the seam. Luther Ellis' son, by the way, Detroit Lion royalty, who happened to be his position coach for the Utah Utes. I think best case, you know, you're an 8-win type team. Now let's go to worst case, Matt.
They rely too much on their defense. They falter, and Sean Payton ends up saying, I can't do this anymore. I really think the worst case scenario would be Sean Payton failing on the rebuild. When they brought him in, they forced him with Russell Wilson. He tried to make that work. It didn't go. I really look at Sean Payton, and I ask myself, is he in for the long haul on this? Is this? I know he's paid a lot of money, and they have a lot of money behind that team now with the new ownership group and all that. Sean Payton is only 60, so you would think that he's got a lot of time at the helm there with Denver. But the worst-case scenario is the doomsday scenario, and that is the rebuild goes south. The rebuild goes poorly. Bo Nix is not the guy. They don't draft well, and they're stuck in purgatory in a division that right now is ripe for the taking, but also with the Chiefs not going anywhere, you're not going to be able to supplant them anytime soon when Patrick Mahomes playing, and they're just stuck in purgatory with the rebuild going bad for the Denver Broncos.
My gosh, man, your worst-case scenario is like living in the inner rings of Dante's Inferno, man.
It's pretty bad.
Dude, good Lord.
Bad.
I'd say worst-case scenario is you're around a 4-win football team, but Sean Payton ain't going out a loser. I mean, I think he's in this, you know, till he turns it around. He's way too competitive to go ahead and abandon ship. So,
see, I think 4 wins might be a best case scenario win. I'm looking at that as you get another nice high draft pick, and if Bo Nix shows you that he can be the guy, add one more guy to it. I'm all for it.
He's Matt Fantafon. Now it's in my head.
Now it's in your
He's
head.
He's Matt Fontana.
Yes.
I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. That's best case, worst case for the Denver Broncos. Now let's get to big deal, not a big deal.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
Now we turn this bad boy over to our producer, James Steele. James?
All right, up first. Hi, guys. Jim
nice
Harbaugh.
Nice haircut, by the way, man. That's clean.
Looking sharp.
Clean,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's very short. I dyed my hair. I dyed like the bottom of my hair blonde earlier this summer because I was bored, and when I'm bored, I like do stupid things with my hair. And it was like all frizzy and stuff at the bottom, and it was just like I should probably just get this all cut off.
Oh, look, better than mine. I don't have any product in mine. I look like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber.
And I didn't realize how much blonde I had in the hair, so it was just got a little short. Trimmed up the beard.
When they start, sometimes they can't stop. They just got to keep going.
It's right fine. There. Well, I think it's okay. I think I look fine. Jim Harbaugh will be back at Michigan Stadium for the Wolverine season opener. Former Michigan coach has accepted an invitation to be the team's honorary captain for the Wolverines for the Wolverines' August 31st game against Fresno State. I'm sure that'll be a barn burner. I look forward to having him back in Ann Arbor for that game, Michigan AD Ward Manuel said in an interview on One Star Recruits podcast. Harbaugh left Michigan to take the head coaching job with the Chargers after leading the Wolverines to a national championship last season. And earlier this week, the NCAA announced a four-year show cause penalty for Harbaugh. Basically a useless punishment one can understand, really. But anyway, yeah, big deal, not a big deal. Harbaugh is honorary captain for Michigan's opener.
The only reason I'm going to say this is a big deal because this is a big old double-barrel football finger to the NCAA, and I think it's absolutely hilarious. So I'm going to go big deal just on that alone.
I'm also going to say big deal just because I think it's interesting that Michigan – they, you know, it's basically them saying, we know you left a wake of destruction here, but that's all good because we won the Natty and that's all we care about and we're thanking you. I didn't even think about that little shot to the NCAA, and I don't like the NCAA, so Ian, I agree with you. I think it's a big deal because I like it.
The night American sprinter Noah Lyles won a bronze medal, he had a fever of around 102 degrees, according to his coach Lance Brauman. It's what made that medal in his last sprint at the Paris Games all the more impressive to Brauman, who described the sprinter's condition and future Friday in an interview with the AP. Lyles tested positive for COVID-19 on Tuesday and finished third in Thursday's 200-meter final. Those guys raced great, Brauman said, but to get a bronze medal in the in 19.7 with a temperature of about 102, that wasn't too bad. Matt, big deal, not a big deal. Noah Lyles went in the bronze with a pretty significant fever.
I think it's a huge deal because when I get sick, I am like blankets. I can't get out of bed. I'm useless. I can't do anything when I get sick. Like, there's always people that say like, oh, you know, guys get sick worse or the man flu or anything like that, whatever. But to not only where I can't get out of bed with the sniffles, for him to go out there and compete with some of the best athletes in the world and still medal with things that I wouldn't even want to walk downstairs to go get a glass of water. He's out there running in a track meet. I think that's a pretty big deal.
It's a massive deal because he's also an asthmatic. So right. Imagine that. You're an asthmatic and you have the vid for 2 days. He tested positive 2 days prior. So that thing had set in. And to still win a bronze medal, one word, damn. And if for people wondering, you know, he had to quarantine. He had to isolate once he was, you know, once he tested positive. But then when, you know, and when you're out there in open air, it's not exactly like you're hugging the guy next to you. So, but for the 2 days prior, he did have to isolate and quarantine. But yeah, it's for an asthmatic, COVID, and you still win the bronze. Hell yeah, man. Stand up and salute.
The New England Patriots informed veteran wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster that they plan to release him Friday. A league source told ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. Juju signed a 3-year, $25 million contract with the team in the 2023 offseason as one of the primary free agent targets of the former regime, led obviously by Bill Belichick. It was clear from the start of training camp that Juju, who was 27, was facing longer odds to earn a roster spot, in part because of an infusion of youth that included rookie receivers Jalen Polk and Javon Baker. And then he dropped a bunch of passes in training camp, which
that's
also didn't help his case. Ian, big deal, not a big deal. Patriots releasing Juju.
Not a big deal because that dude is almost to the point of being KP, which means can't play.
I'm going to say not a big deal. The only big deal part of it is just how alarmingly bad the Patriots are at finding wide receivers. Like, even when I know Bill's not there anymore, but he still was the one that signed him, and he can find tight ends. He can find offensive linemen. There is something about wide receivers into it. Running back, sure. And, yeah, okay, fine. He found, you know, Julian Edelman and turned him in there, whatever. Even more recently, the draft picks that they've wasted on receivers, the guys they have signed there, it's been a lot of nothing. So I'm
not a big Keyshawn Boutte fan from LSU.
Not Tyquan Thornton. I mean, there's just so many where you look at it and you're like, okay, what are we doing here? And why is that guy on your team? And overpaying again for Juju that was discarded by a couple of teams. I don't get it. I really don't understand it.
All right, I think I got one more here. Boston Celtics star Jason Tatum was benched for the second time in this summer's games in Team USA's 95-91 semifinal win over Serbia, and Tatum's mom wants to know why. Earlier in the games, Tatum missed the Olympic opener against Serbia due to a DNP. Steve Kerr gave his explanation at the time for why Tatum didn't play, but he may have to give another one to Tatum's mom. ESPN legend Dick Vitale shared an inquisitive post Thursday night wondering if Tatum wasn't getting any minutes because he was injured. And Jason Tatum's mom responded to that tweet, "No, he is not. But if you find out what's going on, please let me know. Unacceptable and makes no sense." Matt, big deal, not a big deal. Jason Tatum's mom not happy with Jason Tatum's playing time.
It's not a big deal. This isn't AAU. This isn't – I appreciate a parent sticking up for their child, but have you seen that roster? Have you seen the other guys that are kind of carrying this thing along here? And I'm not also buying the conspiracy theories that Steve Kerr's got some axe to grind against the Celtics or something like that with Jason Tatum. He's on a team with some of the best basketball players in the world, and he's not getting as much run as he thought he would. That's the simplest answer. I appreciate a mom sticking up for her son, but he and I don't think this is a very big deal.
Well, this goes back to what Charles Barkley was talking about, where Chuck Daly, the head coach of a 92 Dream Team, the original Dream Team, you guys are playing the first 10, you guys are playing the second 10. Let's wear their asses out and go home with the gold, right? I mean, now the international game wasn't anywhere close to what it is now back then. But so would I be playing them? Yeah, I'd be giving them some burn. But is it mom, lighten up. Have you seen what that dude just signed for?
Right.
He just won his first title. He's on the Olympic team. He is an Olympian. I mean, what more do you want?
And he'll probably be on
relax.
The next. And he'll probably be on the next Olympic team, too. So, he's got plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Mom, don't push send, as Herm Edwards once said. Closing ceremonies are on deck, and we give you the greatest career in the NFL that most people never talk about. This one's going to shock you right here on ESPN Radio.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
How would you feel if every time you did your job, you got $230,000.
That'd be nice.
I'll take it. He's Matt Fontana. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Houston and Pittsburgh has gone final 20-12. That is your ball game. If you have the under, you're gold. And, well, there's 2 seconds left, but they're about to take a knee. If you had Pittsburgh, sorry, Matt. Catching points, you're cooked as Christmas dinner. We are presented in part by Progressive Insurance. Now, the reason I bring up $230,000, we were talking about starting quarterbacks, you know, playing in preseason games. Josh Allen's going to play a couple series. C.J. Stroud, we saw play a couple series tonight for the Houston Texans. Went, 2-for-4, 41 yards and a touchdown. We're seeing a lot of starting. Patrick Mahomes is going to play. We're seeing more starting quarterbacks because of the shortened preseason get some burn early on. Aaron Rodgers, well, he's not even practicing because it rained a little bit. So that's a whole different animal. But yet you see a lot of people going, man, why wouldn't you just play the backup? And then we started talking about backup quarterbacks in our pre-show meeting. And I came up with the greatest, because you brought up Colt McCoy as one of the greatest jobs ever. But Colt right. got hit a lot, man. Colt,
he did.
Colt started a lot of games in Cleveland, started a bit in Arizona when my brother was there also. I mean, Colt got hit.
Oh, James Harrison rocked him one time in a game in Cleveland.
Remember that. Yeah. That smelling salts were needed.
That was not a good one, yes.
I give you, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest career in the history of the National Football League. And it goes to a man who made $41.8 million in his 14-year career. Let's just go 42 because he probably had some endorsements, right? So sure. $42 million in a 14-year career. Started five games in 14 years. You got paid to work out, watch football, carry a clipboard.
Play in the preseason.
Chase Daniel, woo! Pride of the Missouri Tigers.
There you go.
Made just over $230,000 per completion in his career.
That is...
Let me say that again.
Pretty good.
Chase Daniel made over $230,000 per completion in his 14-year career in the NFL. Started five games. Made $42 million to be paid to work out, watch football, and not get hit. That, to me, has to be the greatest career to do nada in the history of a National Football League.
So the other thing is I'm looking at the game. So I have his career game log that he played, and I wanted to see if any of these games actually meant anything, because it would add even more to the story. Like, one of those career starts was on December 29th, 2013. That was game 16 of the season, and he started because the game meant nothing to the Kansas City Chiefs because they had already clinched. Then the next year, start number two of his career, also game 16, week 17 for Kansas City when they didn't need him to start. Then the other two starts in his career came when he was in Chicago due to injury in 2018, and that was week 11 and week 12 of the season. And then the same thing in Chicago the next year in 2019. He didn't get a start, but he actually came in and had to do relief and beat Minnesota in 2019, going 22 out of 30 in relief. And then he had to start the following week for Chicago, and they lost to the Raiders. So, Ian, I'll give you even one further. Even of all of his starts, only three of them actually came in games that mattered.
God bless the man.
God bless him. What a job.
I mean, what? He's an American icon. I mean, Chase, I just got this text. He made $4.6 million per touchdown pass.
That's, I'd like that. Could you imagine if Patrick Mahomes had that kind of deal? That kind of rate going for Patrick Mahomes?
I mean, what an American hero right there. I mean, Chase Daniel, greatest career that not enough people talk about. All right, Matt, tomorrow, Team USA versus France for the gold. I think they wipe the floor with these guys. I mean, size, everything, you name it. I mean, I get Wimby, but you know what? This thing is going to be an absolute slaughter. We're coming off one of the greatest games I've seen in a while against Serbia yesterday to an absolute blowout, I think, for gold tomorrow.
Yeah, and especially like Gobert not getting a lot of minutes right now, which is kind of interesting, and Wembanyama. And I think it's also, you know, with Team USA, they keep waking up, but it's also just giving that motivation of kind of understanding how hard it can be to still come back, where they're like, listen, we, you know what, they want Jason Tatum to play in the fourth quarter. because they want to be up by 35 so they can be sitting there and
so
thinking about where
they're mad.
Right. So his mom's not bad, and LeBron wants to be sitting there in the fourth quarter thinking about where they're going to get their champagne for the rest of the night. And, of course, no better place to probably be than France and Paris to be getting their champagne to celebrate their gold medal. So I do think I'm with you. I think they want the easy game, the nice little cakewalk there. So to see that intensity early is probably what they're going to want. Hey, play motivated here early. We'll get you the rest a little bit later. They'll take care of business. I believe that.
Full slate of NFL games tomorrow also. I mean, it starts at noon Eastern. So we got that game in the afternoon, NFL football all day long. I watched Breaking today, man. My wife had me she was watching Breaking when I walked into the living room. B-girl Kate from Ukraine. Girl's got game, man. Our girl Sissy here from the U.S., it was absolutely awesome. So, and we got baseball tomorrow. As a matter of fact, Sunday night. Tune in to Sunday night action as the Mariners host the Mets. Coverage of Sunday night baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN. So, heavy sports weekend. Can't wait. I'm going to watch more Breaking tomorrow. It was outstanding.
It's
thoroughly entertaining.
Awesome.